Praise the Lord, church. I'm so excited to be here right now. I come down here and I want to be close to you guys. I don't want to be far away from you. That way, if I got to pull any strings. No, I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited what God is doing in this church. Someone asked me recently, how long have you been teaching Sunday school? And I had to sit down and think. And I've been teaching Sunday school. I've been teaching kids for about 15 years now. And I'm really, you know, it really makes me feel old when I see kids that I've taught Sunday school. I think Sister Sharon knows this one, right? When they grow up and they have kids and they get married, you know, have kids, and you start to look and wow, you know, and then their kids come in Sunday school, and praise God, that is so exciting. I thank God for that. I look at these generation of these young singers up here, and I'm so excited for what God is doing in them. But I'm also excited because I look recently at our youth group, and I watched how some of the young people who, it wasn't long ago that they were here, and now they're sitting amongst the youth. And I'm really excited to see the fire growing in their hearts. And the leadership leading them the way that they're doing. And these young people are having Bible studies. And they've been getting together at like McDonald's and different places because they're hungry for the Word of God. They're hungry for what God is doing. And, you know, I'm really starting to realize that there is a hunger growing in the church. And there is a hunger. And these people, these young people, they're going to search and they're going to seek out. And they're going to be fed somewhere. Hallelujah. Why not be fed from the Word of God? Praise God. Praise God. I think Brother Carl and Sister Cecily are doing such an awesome job, and I'm excited that Brother Carl and Sister Cecily, I really look up to Carl and Cecily, and I don't really say a lot of like whatever, but I think it's so awesome. Brother Carl was up here not long ago talking about this missions trip that they're getting ready to go on, and you know, the one thing that really stood out in my mind, you know, that Carl said, you know, I don't know why or whatever, I don't remember the exact terminology, but Carl said, this may be just a test. And if this is a test, I'm diving in. I'm following the will of God because I'm going to go wherever God calls me to go. And I think that is so awesome. We all need to adapt that because sometimes God will do that in our lives, and He'll come and He'll put things in our way. And are we going to answer that? Are we willing to stop? Are we willing to say yes to God? Praise God. Praise God. I give honor to my pastor. I thank Pastor Roy. I thank Bishop Grant for the legacy. And I thank Pastor Roy for always believing in me. And I just wanted to always, I give honor to my parents today. I want to just tell them that. I love them dearly. And I thank God for my dad always speaking in my life. And I just want to take a minute and give honor to my wife. My wife, a lot of people don't see the things that she does for me, and I'm so appreciative, and I just thank God for her. Praise God, but I got to throw in those little, praise God. You know, I can't start off a service without a little bit of humor, okay? So a lot of times, if you come to Calvary Gospel Church, you see my wife and I, we kind of sit over here towards the back, and you really start to, so I kind of have this like thing when you can kind of measure how good the service is, right? How do you measure how good the service is? Well, the music starts up, and we call it the sway, okay? Because the sway, if you haven't noticed, when the Lord starts to move, and some people can come in here, and no matter what the problem is in their life or whatever there's going on, they start to get that sway, and it's really cool to see from the back because everyone kind of does it, and I don't even know if you realize you're doing it. I just think it's so cool. Now, here's the other thing. I don't know if you noticed this, but I'm hoping to get the bob tonight. I call it the bob because the man of God always sits up here when somebody's preaching, and he does the bob, and if you're getting the bob, you know the preaching's good because you'll sit there. All right, yep. So, we got the sway, and I'm hoping to get the bob. I'm going to be looking over. If I don't get the bob, I might be fired. I don't know. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm going to ask you, if you can, to please stand for the reading of the word. Praise God. We are talking about a story, and I'm speaking on the subject, the revelation of the bride. The revelation of the bride. And we're reading, we're doing a Hearts on Fire series. We just got back from district conference, and we did Hearts on Fire there. And we thought, you know, let's just, we prayed about it, and God just started, you know, speaking to me about this subject, and praise God. So our theme scripture from Hearts on Fire is Jeremiah 20, verse 9. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Hallelujah. What a powerful statement. Praise God. And Hebrews 12, verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. Praise God. Please turn and greet someone in the wonderful name of Jesus, and you may be seated. Well, I think I'm in trouble here, because I do feel like this is a God-inspired theme. God said, you know, this is what I want you to talk about. I kind of wrestle with it myself. I'm not a big mushy guy. My wife can probably, I don't know what she would have to say to that. But, you know, and I knew right away that I would get problems with the boys, because the boys come in here. What's with all the hearts? What's with all this mushy, gushy, kissy talk, you know, and all this hearts? No, no. But if you give me a minute, just give me a minute, okay? Let's let God try to speak to us, okay? I'm already getting the scowl. Please excuse me. I've been sick. I'm recovering, but I still got a little. I'm getting the scowl from some of these young boys. But, you know, the guy that we're going to talk about here tonight, he's not one of these wimpy little guys. All right? So I'm going to try to bring it back a little bit. He's a big manly man, okay? Strong and tough. Can you guys give me your manly man growl? Ooh, that was good. That was good. Woo! How about on the girl's side? Can you tell me a manly man growl? Oh. In case you didn't hear that, that came from the little bros child, okay? Praise God. So like last year, we jumped into our Bible time machine. Today, I was wondering if we could, is to jump in our imagination station, our Bible time machine, or the TARDIS for all the Doctor Who fans. We got some Doctor Who fans, praise God. I'm a Dr. Pepper fan, I don't know. Today, we're going back to visit a man, a manly man named Samson. Samson. But we can't tell the story of Samson without going back a little further and talk about a man named Manoah. The Bible says that in Manoah's time, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the land of the Philistines for 40 years. Everyone say, that is a long time out. 40-year time out. The Bible goes on to tell us that Manoah had a wife named Zorah. But Zorah had a problem. Zorah could not have any kids. The Bible says that Zorah was barren. How many of you are here? You may be barren and not from kids, but you may have a dream that you have in your life and you feel that it's unfulfilled and you want God to see it, but God has got a blessing for you. Hallelujah, Jesus. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Zorah and said unto her, behold, thou art barren and bearest not. And Zorah's like, duh. All right. But the angel said, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son, Hallelujah. That's probably music to her ears. Some of us have received a word from God at some point in our life, and we need to cling on to those words. We need to cling on to those promises. Hallelujah. Now, therefore, beware, the angel said, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, a manly son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So here we have this baby that is going to be born. The promise is given to Manoah and his wife Zora. And he said, you're going to receive the blessing that you want, but there's some conditions. You can't drink any strong drink. You can't cut his hair. So Samson, is being called to start the delivery of Israel. The delivery from the bad guys. Everyone say the bad guys. The Bible tells us of a people called the Philistines. These are the guys that have been tormenting God's people for several years. We talked earlier, I briefly mentioned about the giant. God slayed a giant. God used David to slay the giant. That giant's name was Goliath. Goliath was a Philistine. The Philistines have been tormenting God's people for years. I wonder what it is here today that has been tormenting you and your family for years. Maybe there's something in your life that you have just come to the point where you're just like, enough is enough. Some of us have been getting kicked around for a long time. Your dream seems barren. Hallelujah, Jesus. The Bible goes on to tell us that she bore the son and she called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move on him at times. Hallelujah. How many of you want God to move in your life? Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Samson went down, the Bible says, to Timnath. And he saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Everyone say, the bad guys. What's he doing looking for a girl in the wrong side of town, right? This ain't good. How many of you want your parents, they don't want you hanging around the bad crowd, right? They want you hanging around the good people, the uplifting people, the people that are going to invest in your life, the people that are going to help shape you and mold you into something good. Jada's pointing at Kate. I'm sorry, it's just cute. Praise God. So Samson's looking at this girl. He's eyeballing one of the Philistine women. How many of you are hanging around in places labeled off limits by God? Places that are deemed off limits by God. Come on, you know the places that we're talking about here tonight. They could be places on your computer. They could be places on your cell phones. They could be places of negative influence like ungodly music or shows. See, we don't realize the impact that these things have in our life. We think, well, just watch once. Oh, it's funny. I like the way that Charlie Sheen or whatever, you know, he's a funny guy. But you know what? When you open these shows up and you're allowing them to speak in your life and you're taking in this stuff, and then you sit there and you wonder why you're having some of the problems you're having. I'm not trying to get off on a tangent and beat you, but the Bible does say to set no evil thing before your eyes. Praise God. God hates this stuff. The Bible says, it's funny, is that no evil thing? I forgot to put that in there. But Brother Rick, everyone's doing it. Everyone's doing it. How many of you have heard that story before, that saying? But everyone's doing it. Can you kids say it with me? Everyone's doing it. Yeah. You know, I remember growing up, and I remember when a bunch of the kids that I used to hang around, they started to, it started with one or two people, and you'd hear that they were smoking cigarettes. And I remember hearing, and I remember thinking in my life how crushed I was, because here's the friends that I've invested in and that I hang out with, and they're making bad choices. You know, our lives, we go down paths, and the people that go with us, but when they start to make those bad choices, we need to really start to gauge, do we really want to hang out with these kids? Do we really want to hang out with them? Because if we're not careful, we're going to let them influence us. Praise God. But I'm here to tell you, church, that not everyone's doing it. The Bible has called a bride. God is raising up a bride, one that is holy and without spot. We are called the bride of Christ. That's why if we want to go to heaven, we need to be clean from sin. Clean from sin. How many of our young people remember our keys? We talk about our keys. Can anyone tell me what our first key to getting to heaven is? Repentance. Praise God. We talk about the keys to the kingdom. You can't get into heaven without the keys. Amen. You need the keys. What's our second key? Luther. To be baptized in whose name? In Jesus' name. Otherwise, you're just getting wet. What's our last key? We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We need the Holy Ghost. The great part about the Holy Ghost inside of us is the Holy Ghost not only ensures that we can get into heaven, but God is living with us. He walks with us. He guides us through this life. If we listen for God's voice, we allow God to influence us and speak to us, then we're going to be on the right track. Praise God. Back to Samson. And he came up and he told his father. And he said, I have seen a woman of Timnath, of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. And Samson's father, kind of puzzled, you know, fathers and mothers, we love our kids. And a lot of parents would do anything for their kid and hopefully not compromise and go against God's word. But Samson's father's kind of questioning this. He says, when his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among the among thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Sometimes, young people, we can look with our eyes instead of our hearts. We can try to see things that we think that we want. We think that we want, or we think that we need things. But we need to listen to our parents. We need to listen to the man of God. We need to listen to the word of God. When God warns us, or when you feel that still small voice saying, I don't know if this is a good idea. Can't you look in church and find a godly woman in church? See, the Bible tells us to not be unequally yoked. And that was a problem. Samson started looking for the wrong bride. On the wrong bride. There we go. I think I had my hand over it or something. I'm getting the look. Uh-oh. Brother Rick's in trouble. Eventually, that relationship didn't work out because Samson had his eye on the wrong bride. If you expect to make things work on your own, sometimes you got a big surprise in for her. If we try to make things happen on our own, we need to listen for God's timing. We need to wait. Praise God. The Bible goes on to tell us of some cool things. Boys, say some cool things that Samson did under God's anointing. One time, the Bible says that Samson and his father and mother went to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. How many of you guys would wrestle or fight a lion? I think, you know, when you're young and cocky and arrogant, I remember, I don't even know why I'm telling you this, but I remember when Sister Nicole and I, we first started courting, and they lived over on the east side of Madison, and I used to go for walks with her. And of course, I'd walk on the outside of her, you know, because that was when we got to see each other. I'd go over to her house, and Kevin and Linda would let us, you know, go for walks, because we just loved to talk to each other. And that was all we could do, was just talk, talk, talk. Well, we were walking, and I always stayed on the outside. And when we got on a narrow road, and Nicole's like, oh, don't worry about those cars. And I'm like, ah, those cars. Yeah, like, what am I going to do against a car, you know? But Samson, he was going along the trail, and he came up against a lion. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. And Samson grew with great strength. We have strength in Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us that Samson ripped that lion apart. He ripped him just like a little baby goat. Just like a little baby goat. Hallelujah. When God's touch and his power comes in our life, the things that we can do when we allow God to move in our life. Hallelujah. And another time, Samson went and he caught 300 foxes. And he asked them, what do they say? And the Bible says he took firebrands and he turned the foxes tail to tail. And he put in between each of the foxes a firebrand and he lit it. And he sent the foxes out into the Philistines' fields. 300 foxes. I couldn't imagine catching one fox. That's probably really hard, right? And he tied their tails together, 300 foxes. And he sent them out in the enemy's field with a fire at the end of their tail. And of course the foxes are going to run because their tail's on fire. And as they ran through the fields, the harvest was dry and they caught fire. And what did that fire do? It consumed, it destroyed the fields. Not all fires are good fires. We need to make sure that our eyes are on the right fire. Praise God. Samson obviously made the Philistines mad. And the Philistines got so mad that they came and they set up camp in Judah. And when they set up camp in Judah, we're not talking like a little campfire. We're not talking like a couple tents. We're talking like they came on their land with their people, thousands of people. And the children of Israel saw that, and they got nervous. And they're like, why? Why are they over here? Why are they messing with us? So they went out and inquired, why are you here on our land? They're probably thinking, these guys are going to come and destroy us and slaughter us. But the Philistines just wanted one thing. One thing. Samson. And there was a good reason why Samson did that to the foxes, but we won't go there right now. You can ask your parents about that later. But the Philistines wanted one thing. So the Bible says that 3,000 men of Judah went to Samson and said, these guys over here are going to destroy us. Samson, unless you let us bind you, and you come with us. These men knew that Samson had God in his life and that Samson was very strong. But they went to Samson and they said, can you please come with us? But the Bible says that Samson said, you know what? I love these guys and these are my people. And if this is what they want, Samson took the cords and he let them bind them up. I need somebody to be Samson today. Samson, somebody strong. How about you? Come on up here. Are you strong? You're so strong, your name's strong, right? Yeah? Sister Nicole, can you help me out here? Go over by Sister Nicole. She's going to help you. I need a little girl. Oh, they're all so cute. I'm going to pick you in the back with the glasses. Yes. The Bible says that Samson allowed them to bind him up. He allowed them to tie ropes around him. And they didn't just take any rope. They took new ropes. Not the dried out ropes that break a little bit easier, but the fresh ropes that are really hard to break. How many of you have ever tried to take something and tie yourself up and break? There we go. We got a couple honest guys. I've done it. How many rolls of masking tape can I break through, or duct tape or something? There's even videos on YouTube where we watch people try to escape from this. So we have our strong Samson. Don't sit down. You're bound up. We're binding him up with all these ropes. And they delivered him to the Philistines, and the Philistines are like, oh yeah, we got this guy now. See, there comes a point when our enemy, the devil, he thinks he's got you. He thinks he's got you bound up. There may be something in your life that is binding you up, but something came over Samson as they were taking him back to their camp. Something came over Samson, and the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him again. I want you to bust your arms out. Boom. Can you do that? Boom. Boom. The Bible says that he broke those ropes like thread. Samson had great strength and great anointing from the Lord. But, everyone say but. But there was a fair maiden. Come on over here, fair maiden. What's her name?
Melissa.
What's your Bible name?
Delilah.
Delilah. Oh, Delilah, she was fair to look at, right, boys? No, guys, no, not. Oh, Delilah, she was fair to look at. Samson looked at the Philistine women, and he had a weakness for the Philistine women. Oh, Delilah, ain't it like the devil to sit and wait and see what your weakness is? The Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We all know that lions stalk their prey. Lions don't just bust on the scene and take it, but they stalk it. They size it up. I see those antelope over there. There's a weak one right there. They're going to stalk in and get closer. And then when the timing is right, they pounce. The Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. lions stalk their prey. Sometimes we find moments in which your moms are not looking. Sometimes we find moments in which our dads may not be looking. Sometimes we find moments in which our pastors may not be looking. And we think we can get away with things. We start to show weakness. And the devil is sitting right there, watching and waiting and stalking you. He's looking for the weak ones. Observing your weakness, the enemy knew that Samson had a weakness for ungodly women. Oh, her name was Delilah. She was pretty as they come. And Samson saw her, and it was instantaneous love at first sight, right? I'm going to owe them a lot of candy for this. Don't laugh, though. How many of you can close your eyes right now and picture the Delilah in your life? She was very fair to look upon. And as soon as the enemy saw that Samson was hooked, the Bible says that the Philistines sent their lords to Delilah. All the men of the Philistines, they were conniving because they knew that they couldn't overpower Samson, but they knew his weakness. And they went to Delilah, and they said, Delilah, they said, we will give you each like 1,400 pieces of silver if you find out what his weakness is. She said, okay. So Delilah would get together with Samson. He would come see her. He would bring her flowers. He would bring her chocolates. I always get excited because every other week we have our very own Brittany Powell. And I told my wife, it's funny because she's seeing a young beau from Appleton. His name's Kirby. And it's funny because on Fridays, Kirby comes around. Every other Friday, Kirby comes around. And Kirby comes, everyone kind of comes out to see what Kirby brought. Because Kirby's always comes with gifts. Right, Robbie? Kirby brings Robbie gifts sometimes. No, not always. Okay. Tim? Kirby always comes with chocolates or he comes with some special coffee or something, and people kind of get some attention. I think that Samson came to Delilah with some special coffee, some chocolates. He knew that she had nieces and nephews and other brothers and sisters, and he would bring them gifts because Samson really liked Delilah. It's funny what we do when we really like someone. And Delilah would hang out and they would talk. They would talk on their cell phone. They would talk and hang out. They didn't have cell phone. But they would sit and talk and talk and talk. And oh, Delilah, she was laying it on thick. And Samson, I love all these chocolates. I love this coffee. I love these special treats. But if you really love me, if you really love me, the world is saying, you will compromise your holiness. If you really love me, you will expose yourself to me, the world is saying. What is your weakness? Delilah said to Samson. Samson's like, psh. Oh, Delilah, you know, he knew that he could just make up anything because it really didn't matter. So he told her, well, you know, if you bind my hand with this, I'll become weak as any other man. Samson was over there, and he was very tired, and he fell asleep. And so Delilah, she came in while he was sleeping, had some men bind him up with the green withers. And then she hollered out, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And Samson jumped up. And he broke those just like thread, the Bible says. He broke them just so easily. He's messing around with her. So she got really disappointed and disheartened. So she went to Samson and she said, "Samson, are you messing with me? Are you toying with me? I thought you loved me. Somehow they bound you up with these things. Somehow we see the signs of the world's effect in our lives, but we still continue to go and visit the world and still continue to flirt with the very things that are going to try to destroy us." But Samson said, "Oh, baby, I do love you. Well, if you love me, then show me. Samson, what's your weakness?" And this cat and mouse game went about for a long time. And each time the Bible says that what it was that Samson told her that his weakness was. And the funny thing that is, as it got closer to the truth, it was a little bit closer to the truth. Because the very thing that he got his strength from, his anointing, his hair, the last time he said, "If you tie up my hair and whatever into a loom or whatever, that I'll become weak as any other man." So she did it, and he woke up and he busted out of that just like nothing. And she's like, "Samson, why are you continue to mess with me? I don't understand. This relationship is over." The world starts to put a little pressure on us to make that cut, to make that transition. So Samson finally gave in. He looked at Delilah and he wasn't ready to give it up. He wasn't ready to be delivered from the world, the things of the world. How many of us have been flirting with things of the world, developing relationships with things of the world? We've allowed them to influence us. We've allowed them to bind us. But we know in our hearts that we are in the wrong. The Bible says, "Hot or cold, if you're lukewarm, I spew you out." You can't be hanging around the middle zone. We need to be on fire for Jesus. So Samson went to sleep again, and Delilah snuck in with a razor, and they shaved his head. They shaved his anointing. They took his power. And Delilah called out again, "Samson, the Philistines are upon us." And this time, Samson did not have his anointing. He didn't have his strength. And they took him. And the Bible tells us that they beat him up and they gouged out his eyes. That is gross. That's disgusting. See, the world wants to leave us blind, that we can't see our way back home. Samson was bound up. Samson was bound up. And for their very pleasure, they took Samson and they said, "Samson, come with us." Sorry about that. He's like, "You try to wear it." They chained up Samson to a pillars of the city. They got all their drinks out and their food out and they started a great party. They said, "Let's bring out this Philistine who's been tormenting our people for all this time. We haven't been able to take him down. See, the devil's trying to take you down. But if you continue to stand strong for God, God's anointing is going to cover you. You're going to let him cover you. But when that anointing is down, we've got him." We had a drama recently about that. The devil's trophies. He wants to use you and put you up on his shelf and say, "There's another trophy. There's Samson." Samson's bound up. Bound up. He's chained up. And they have him for a simple amusement. And the Bible goes on to say, but something in Samson remembered back when he was a little kid. Something in Samson remembered back the stories that his Sunday school teacher had told him when he was a kid. Something in Samson said, enough is enough. I need the anointing. I need to get back with Jesus. I need to get back. But he was bound up. Bound up. But oh, the Bible says that his hair started to grow back. The anointing starts to grow back. When we come to this altar, when we come to this altar, it may not happen at once, but we come and we surrender to God. It may be a process where we continue to have to do it over and over. But we can get back with God. We can let it grow in our lives. We can let the Holy Ghost move in our lives. Oh, Jesus. The Bible says they were dancing, they were drinking, they were being merry. And here's Samson, broken, his eyes gouged out. He can't see. He's chained to the pillars of the city. And Samson calls out. He calls on a little boy, and he says, son, can you help me? He wanted to know the positioning and of the pillars and of the city. And Samson called again on God. He called again on God. He said, God, I know that I've had my eyes on the wrong bride, but I got it right now, Lord. You are the groom, and I am the bride, Lord God, and I want to keep my life clean and pure for you, Lord God. I've got the revelation now, Lord God. My heart wasn't on fire for you, God, but I want that fire in my life and my heart. I need it back, oh God. I need it back, oh God. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon Samson. And Samson, with great strength, took down those pillars. And the Bible says that there was more people destroyed in that very act than all the other things that Samson had done. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If our musicians could come. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If we could stand right now to our feet. Hallelujah, Jesus. And if our altar workers could come. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus is here. He wants to bring deliverance to your house. He wants to bring deliverance to your heart. He wants to set your heart on fire for Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, there's a story about a widowed lady. She didn't have a lot of money. Her husband died. And she had a couple kids, and she loved her kids, and she wanted to get them nice things, but she didn't have a lot of money, so she couldn't buy them toys. They had a dog. Somehow they got a puppy from somewheres, and that dog was the family dog. The dog, they loved that dog. Because they didn't have any toys. That was the playmate of the kids. One day that boy comes home. And he said, well, if mom let me have this dog, maybe he'll let me have this. And he had a box and he was all excited. The boy shows his mom the box and he comes in with excitement. He says, mom, I've got a snake. Can I keep it? His mom looked at that snake and she saw that it was a rattlesnake, a baby rattlesnake. And she knew how dangerous it is. We need to listen to our parents, young people. She knew how dangerous it was, and she ordered him to take that snake out and destroy it. To destroy it. But he went outside. He was really sad. Didn't have a lot of toys. Life had been rough for this little guy. He went outside and he looked inside that box and he looked at that snake and he thought how cute that little snake was. How cute that little snake was. So he decided to sneak it. So he took it out to the barn and he found a place where he could keep that snake. And time went on and the snake grew. The little boy would sneak out to the barn and he would play with the snake. He would look in there. He wouldn't play with it, but he would look in there and he would think, yeah, I got this snake. I know mom said to kill it, but you know what? She doesn't know. And he snuck that snake. And the snake continued to grow. And one day the boy went out to the barn and he opened the box and the snake looked different. The snake was coiled up. The snake looked upon that boy differently with a different look in his eyes. That little boy got scared and he put the box down. He's like, I don't know what happened. It's looking at me differently. Maybe mom was right. I don't know what to do. And he left. He went about his day. It was later on, a sister came in the house crying. Something's wrong with the dog. Something's wrong with our dog. He went outside, looked at the dog. The dog was bitten by the snake. The thing that the boy tried to hide, it was bitten by, and it killed the dog. The dog had become bloated. And the mom came out and she saw it. She said, how did this happen? What happened? And the boy remembered, oh, the snake, the thing that I was trying to hide. And the boy went to his mom. He said, Mom, remember that snake? Remember that snake? You told me to get rid of it, but Mom, oh, Mom, it was so cute. I couldn't get rid of it. It was just so cute. You know, it's been so hard since Dad died and we don't have a lot of toys. And Mom, I just really wanted it. And the mom looked at her son and she said, Son, that's a rattlesnake. It's a poisonous snake. You need to go see if you can find it so we can kill it. And the boy went out and he looked. And sure enough, the box was empty. The snake was gone. And the boy tried to search for the snake and he turned around and boom, he felt something. The bite. The boy screamed. He cried and he ran to his mom. And his mom took a knife and she cut along where the snake had bitten him. And she took her mouth and she sucked out the poison and she spit it out. The bite of sin in our lives. Those things that we flirt with, they seem so innocent. But it took the boy's dog that he loved, and it almost took his very life. What thing is it in your life that you're flirting with, that you're playing with, that your mom and dad are saying, no, destroy it, cut its head off. This is going to kill you. This is going to tear you down. This is going to bring separation between you and God. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If we could close our eyes right now. Hallelujah, I believe that God is here. He is here and He wants to help us by removing the strongholds from someone's life. If you're here today and you've never received the Holy Ghost, God is here and He wants to fill you, young people. I want to encourage you right now to come on up. Come on up and let's find one of these altar workers. Let's find them and let's pray. Let's cut off the head of this snake. Let's cut off the head of the snake. Let's get our eyes, our hearts on fire and our eyes on the bride. We are the bride. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God is ready to start a fire in your heart right now. Hallelujah. Come to the altar right now. Surrender your life to Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's something in your life that you're struggling with. Maybe there's something in your life that seems immovable, impenetrable. The Bible tells us that God is the God of impossible situations. We can speak to the mountain, we can speak to the mountain, and it will be moved. Hallelujah.